So we have a bunch of kids around us. Did you notice that? Thank you, sir. The one thing that kids do remind us of is life, right? They have more life than we have, unfortunately, at times. It's so good to have them around us. So this morning, being Easter, we are going to be very mindful of your time. We realize there's roasts in the oven and people coming over and things like that. But I do want to share with you the gospel story, the story of Jesus Christ and why we celebrate Easter. What is this Easter thing all about? And because the kids are in with us, we need to try to get their attention best as possible. We've already shot off a confetti cannon, so we're going downhill from here as far as they're concerned. But we need to do everything in our power. So we are going to have felt characters to tell the story. Yes, I know. No one is too old for felt characters. Do you realize this? Okay, good. So to begin our story, we could easily start with man and how we blew it. That's usually how we start when we share a testimony with somebody. But I want to instead start in the beginning. And in the beginning was God. Amen? God was in the beginning. And God created the heavens and the earth. He created the sky. He created the grass. He created the oceans. He created the animals. He created everything. He also created man. He actually has clothes, whereas at first he didn't. I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit. You're welcome. He created Adam, and all of those animals that he created, he then put in front of Adam and said, Adam, I want you to name them. I want you to take this land and make something of it. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. And he said, and it's not good for man to be alone, so he created woman. Scandalous, I know. He created woman and called her Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden. Now, in this garden were two trees, tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God comes and he says to them, you may eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will die. Okay, so very plain. See all these trees, see all these animals, everything is yours. Have at it, have fun, be blessed. But that tree right there, don't touch it. Don't eat of its fruit. A serpent comes along, Satan in the form of a serpent. And he says, you will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Our enemy, Satan, will always tell you what God tells you is wrong. And here is why it's wrong. Do you really think you're going to die right away? Do you really think what he says is true? And then the kicker is he says, he doesn't want you to eat of it because you will be like him. And he doesn't want that. And obviously that entices us because all of us want to be God. All of us want to be in charge. All of us want to understand, well, if he doesn't want me to have that and I can have that, then I'm going to. And so that's exactly what they did. They took of the fruit and they ate of it. So you might be thinking, what's the big deal? Who is this cosmic God? Is he just, he puts this yummy tree in the Garden of Eden and then says, don't eat of it. He's just a cruel God. He puts temptation in front of us. God had one rule. God had one command. God had one thing that he wanted, and it was for their own good, and they ate of it. They disobeyed him. They did not do what he commanded to do. So God comes in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It says, in the cool of the day, he comes, and they're hiding. Adam and Eve hear God coming, walking in the garden, and they hide. God says, where are you? Where are you? Maybe God is saying that to you this morning. Where are you? Why are you hiding from me? You might be thinking, well, God's God, right? God knows all things. Can't he see? I mean, even Superman has X-ray vision. Why can't God see through the bush or the tree that they're hiding behind? He does see all things. He knows all things. He wanted man and woman to come to terms and say that they were hiding. So basically, Adam says, the woman that you created for me, she made me do it. Right, men? Have you said that before? All right. Then the woman says, the devil made me do it. That serpent, he was cunning, he was wise, and he said, go ahead and eat of it, you won't die. And so the serpent made me do it. I love in Genesis 3:8 when it says that God came in the cool of the day. And what it pictures is before sin came into our lives, we walked with God. Now, you have the ability to walk with God now, but Adam walked with God. I believe in some sort of a physical way, he walked with God. He was able to walk and talk and do the things that we do with our most trusted friend, with our spouse. He was able to do this with God, the maker of the universe, the maker of himself. He was able to walk with God. There was no division in their relationship other than God was God and Adam was man. God says this in Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. The sin, what they did by disobeying God, by going against what he said, the only command that he first gave, it caused a division between them, a gap. God no longer came to the garden in the coolness of the day and walked with them, because he is a holy God and he cannot be around unholiness. So now there's this gap. There's this void. And Adam and Eve felt it right away. After they took of the fruit, Genesis says that they noticed they were naked. They noticed they were uncovered. They noticed that that covering that God gave them was lifted. They no longer had that relationship with God. Now there's this chasm, this big breach that they have to fill. So a man, Adam, decides, I need to fill it. I need to get back with God. Things aren't the same any longer. So he first says, maybe if I hide, God won't find me. Maybe if I hide, that gap will go away. Maybe if I'm not around him, maybe he's going to think, well, I haven't seen him sin, so maybe he's better now. Maybe I'll trust him again. Maybe I'll hide. Sometimes we do that in our marriages. Sometimes we do that with our kids. Sometimes our kids do that with us. They just hide. Maybe if I blame someone else, God won't blame me. Maybe if I blame my wife for our issues, then God won't come to terms with what I'm going through, with what I'm doing. Do you remember? They felt that they were naked and they covered themselves. God said, why? Who told you were naked? Why do we cover ourselves? We cover ourselves so that we can hide. We cover ourselves with possibly alcohol. We cover ourselves with working. If I fill up my work week with 50, 60, 70 hours, I'm oblivious to anything else that's going on. And I can truly say to God, God, I'm just so busy. And it's all something to try to fill that gap, to try to either make God not see us, or to make us not see God. So God, let's fast forward to Moses. God gives Moses for his people, the children of Israel, the Ten Commandments, or really the law. He gives the law. And the law opens up their eyes. They're like, whoa, what I've been doing is wrong. I now see that I've been sinning. I now see that I'm not doing right by God's standards. And so man immediately says, ah, nice. Thank you, God. You made a way for me. If I do the very best that I can do, then I will be right with God. If I follow all of his commands exactly how he says them, then I'll be right with God, and then that big breach will be filled up. I'll be able to see God and be able to walk with Him once again. After all, I'm a good person. But we cannot be good enough. None of us can follow the law enough. None of us can do exactly as God said enough. Remember, God told them to do one thing: do not eat of that tree. And they immediately went and ate of the tree. So this didn't work either. God said that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that doesn't work. So He sent His Son, Jesus.
God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life.
Excuse me. What you got in there? Wild birds, huh? Where'd you find those?
Got them in the field over there. The field has wild birds.
All right. What are you doing with these birds?
I'm going to play games with them.
All right. What kind of games?
Well, sometimes I like poke them with a stick. And they all go, caw, caw, like that, you know? And sometimes I shake the cage, and they think it's an earthquake. They love that.
Okay. What do you do with them after you're done with these games?
Feed them to my cat. My cat likes wild birds.
Okay. You know what? I'm kind of fond of wild birds.
You are?
Yeah. I'd like to pay you for these.
You're not going to take them home and eat them, are you?
No.
Okay.
I want to pay for them.
Seriously?
Yes.
Okay, $5.
Okay, $5.
$10.
Okay, $10.
$20.
They're wild birds.
They're exotic birds.
You found them in a field.
An exotic field.
All right, $20, but that's all I've got.
Looking at my cage? I see you looking at it.
We got in there.
You know what they are.
The label says mankind.
That's right. Found them in a garden. Funny thing is, they put themselves in this cage. I had nothing to do with it.
What are you going to do with them?
Play games.
What kind of games?
So you know that game Angry Birds? Kind of like that, but with people. Also, I'm going to make what's up seem down. What's down seem up. What's left seem right. What's right seems wrong. What's wrong seems right. And confuse them. They'll be lost.
Yeah, that was confusing.
Good.
What are you going to do with them then?
We'll be damned for all eternity.
You know, I'm kind of fond of these people.
These people?
I think I'd like to pay for them.
No. I know.
I'm serious.
You're serious?
Son, it'll cost you your tears.
I know.
Your blood.
Yes.
It'll cost you your life.
I know, Father.
You would die for these people?
I'll do whatever it takes.
I sent my Son into the world, not to judge it, but to save the world through Him. The cost of your freedom was His life. Jesus died for you on the cross. He picked up that wooden cross and carried it to Mount Calvary. Because He loved you.
God sent His Son, Jesus. We see crosses. We see Christ on the cross on necklaces and things like that. We understand the concept as far as a symbol. We don't completely understand the reason for it. It says in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Do you remember the very first thing that Adam did? He noticed he was naked and covered himself up. One of the things that God did once he was reconciled, once he said, I'm going to take you out of the Garden of Eden because there is no more paradise because of sin, but you can still have a relationship with me. He covered Adam and Eve with skin of an animal. In order for there to be skin of an animal, that introduced death into the world. God sacrificed an animal so that they would be covered. And it wasn't just the skins that they... Go ahead, guys, you can pass it out. It wasn't just the skin that covered them. It was the blood that was shed as well. In Hebrews 10, it says that the shedding of bull's blood and goat blood does not fully wash away sins. Only one person's. So God sent Jesus into the world, not just to die, but to live a sinless life, to radically change the world, to get a hold of 12 individuals and radically change their lives, who then would change ours. Every single person sitting next to you is a result of God sending his Son into the world, not just to die for us, but to live for us. Right now, we're passing out the elements for communion. One of the things that Jesus did before he was to go to the cross was he assembled with his disciples, the same disciples that he mentored and taught the ways of God. He came with them, and they celebrated Passover, which was an ancient Jewish festival, an ancient Jewish feast that commemorated and celebrated God passing over the children of Israel from the death angel. Basically, that if they shed the blood of a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and lintel of the home, that when the death angel came, he would pass by. And so all of these centuries, this people group, the Jews, would come together and celebrate this. They would eat together as a family, and it meant something to them because of what they heard that their ancestors went through. And they looked at each other and they realized the reason they're alive today instead of being wiped from the face of the earth was because of this provision by God. Jesus, it says in the Gospel of Luke, was excited to celebrate this one last time with his disciples. He told them to go and make arrangements, much the same way as these men and women are making arrangements this morning so that we can all partake together. And as he started to do this Passover supper with them, he pointed to the bread. He pointed to the wine. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Now, every time that they used to think of this is the lamb that was slain so that the death angel would pass over for our ancestors, they're now starting to see, wait a minute, this has meaning for us right now. Today. So what you're saying, Jesus, is that you're about to die for me. You're about to die for my sins. He pointed to the wine. And he said, "This is the blood of my new covenant, shed for the remission of your sins." Just like in the skit, we see that the devil likes to cage us. He likes to own us. He likes to be our master. And in reality, when we're born into this world, we're born into sin. And we're born, really, to have him as our master. We're born into that cage. And just like the man in the skit wanted to buy humanity back, that's what Jesus did. Except Jesus didn't use currency. Jesus didn't use $5, $10, $20. He used his body. He used his blood. Because again, without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. If he didn't shed his, then we would have to shed ours, both physically and spiritually. Being in that cage is not just like a cage that maybe someday, hopefully, the owner will get clumsy and maybe leave it open. The only way to open that cage is faith in Jesus Christ. bread and the juice that we're about to take together, it signifies what Jesus did for us. When everybody has it, we'll partake of it together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love,
chains.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
He took the bread and He broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Will you take it with me? After supper, He took the juice, the wine, said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the blood that I've shed for the remission of your sins. Will you take it and drink it all?" He said, "As often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death until He returns." So Jesus died for us. He died the death that we couldn't die, that he didn't want us to die, that our faith in him causes remission of our sins. He bought us back. He redeemed us. The same way that you go into a pawn shop and you try to get some money and you give them a guitar, you give them a VCR or something, they give you a ticket of redemption. And when you're able to bring the money back, you may redeem back what you left. That's what Jesus did by dying on the cross. He had a ticket of redemption and he paid it to redeem us. He died a violent death. They took him off of the cross and laid him in a tomb. He prophesied that 3 days later, he would rise again. On Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, he rose again. Amen. And it caused the division that we had with God, that we tried to fill with our own means, with being good, with maybe covering our lives up with work or alcohol or relationships or whatever it might be. Nothing seemed to work, but Christ redeemed us and he set that line straight again. We now are able to have communion with the Father God, our Creator. It says in Romans 5:10-11, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God." Amen. We can be friends with God. We can talk with him in the cool of the day once again. Let me quickly say something about resurrection. Many of us think that's a big word, especially the kids and some of the adults. It's a big word. What does it mean? And commonly it is said that it means life after death. That spiritually speaking, we step from death, which is our sin, into life, which is Jesus. But that's only a part of it. In fact, it might be just a little bit wrong. Resurrection does not mean life after death. In that sense, what it means is life after death. It's not just the instant that you become saved. It's not just the instant that Jesus rose again from the grave. It's the life that he lived. It's the life that you live. It's resurrection life. Resurrection means the life after death. The minute you become revitalized, you're new again, you are now God's, that's salvation. Resurrection is that life that you now live. Christ wants to resurrect marriages in this place. Christ wants to resurrect other relationships. Christ wants to resurrect your addictions. Anything that is holding you back, anything that you're holding on to cover you up, to guise yourself in front of God, or so maybe that you don't see God, he wants to bring you back to life. He wants to bring you into resurrection. Resurrection life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Romans 4:25 says, "He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God." This morning, I want you to respond. No longer do I want you to hide. No longer do I want you to have this big chasm between you and God. I want you to be able to accept Christ and say, "I now have a relationship with God. I don't have to hide any longer. I don't have to cover up. I can talk with him. I can go directly to the throne room of God through Christ Jesus, through my faith in him." If I could have the response team to come to these two locations, what I want to do is, just as this verse says, he is able to make us right with God. He is able to cleanse us of our sins. It's that first moment of resurrection, that moment of salvation, and then it's resurrection life. This morning, if this is your first time and you realize, wow, God is pulling on me. This is scary. I don't know what this is, but I do believe God is wanting me to respond. I want to give my heart to Christ. I want to accept him into my heart, into my life, and take the redemption that he gave so that I could be right with God. If this is your first time doing that, I want you to go over to these individuals right here, and they will pray with you. If you're here this morning and you've already done that before, maybe you did it when you were 13 or when you were 7 or maybe when you were 43, but life has changed. You've gotten away from God. You are no longer in right standing with God. You don't have that relationship. You're not walking with God in the cool of the day, and you want to make things right. That's available for you too. I want you to come over to these individuals and they will pray with you. Please, right now, everyone, as the worship team plays, I want you to just move. I know that God is tugging on some of your hearts. Please, please move. And I haven't asked for anyone's eyes to be closed. You might think that's cruel. It's a celebration. Anybody who sees you move will be celebrating with you. And they're going to be living alongside of you and helping you every step of the way. So I want people to see. Please, guys, respond to God's call this morning. Right now, please. Father God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for what you did for us, for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. God, we thank you that you purchased us back. God, the mistake that we made in the garden, Lord, of disobeying you, God, in ushering sin and death into the world, God, that you crushed with your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, God, and we want to accept him this morning. God, for the first time, or maybe second, third, fourth, however many times, that doesn't matter, God. Lord, you forgive us over and over again, Lord. You want us to live with you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would move upon hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.